T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, the text messages are flying in here. We're going to try to knock some of them out here at 9 o'clock hour. We always appreciate everybody getting involved in the show, whether you agree with us or not, or whatever you think. We understand that's the beauty of sports. Everybody's got their own opinion on everything, including quarterbacks to everything else in this crazy 2020 that we've had so far. And, of course, it's also some serious political stuff going on here in the next few weeks as well. We understand that. I want to say this. I didn't get to this yet before we get back to the machine. The Miami Dolphins already have 14 sacks, one of the top teams in the NFL in sacks, after only having, I believe, did they have 23 last year, if I'm not mistaken? They have 14 already this season. It's been, and by the way, that was with a slow start where a team just ran all over us. But Emmanuel Ogbah has really picked it up. I wanted to say that about him, sitting there with 3 sacks, had one called back. Like, he is, I don't know what happened. You know, I think a lot of it maybe has to do with, you know, getting people in situations where you can just take off, and the blitzes have helped everybody. Van Ginkle has been great. Sealer is another one. So I just wanted to say we're kind of wondering about Van Ginkle. Now he's got 2.5 sacks on the year, making some real the blitz packages from the defensive coordinator have been great. So the last few weeks, they have really, really picked it up. And now that the back end is not making mental mistakes with movement, motion, all the other stuff that everybody does. And then I hear the coach say, Bobby McCain's been the key guy getting everybody lined up back there. You know, you just watch a game, and I do this too, and I see a guy throw it out in the flats, and you're going, and the guy runs 20 yards down the side. It's obviously a broken coverage. Like, that's not how you draw it up, where a guy can catch a ball out in the flats and run up the sideline. That something happened, mental mistake. Somebody went the wrong guy. Somebody did something he wasn't supposed to. That one guy being in there, Bobby McCain, can police and make all the adjustments for all the corners is really amazing. That one key guy, because they asked the coach, you know, they asked Coach Boyer, say, hey, what happened? He goes, Bobby McCain's not hurt. He's out there. He's getting everybody lined up the right way. And just communicating, when this defense is all on the same page, all 11 guys know what they're doing, and now they get Byron Jones back, it looks a hell of a lot different.
Sure.
And nothing against the rookie, Igbinoghene, who basically is being used only on the outside, and as long as the X-Man and Byron Jones are healthy, probably not going to play a lot because it sounds like they don't want to play him inside. So I just, all those things, and not really having a guy to pick on. And if you put Igbinoghene back in there, he's getting picked on.
Right.
They're going to pick on him. Yeah. If you put number 48, Allen, for the 49ers back in this week against the Rams, they're going to throw at him. They're going to go, ho-ho, copycat league. Oh, we still got that wounded deer out there. Let's go after it, man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it is. Anyway, 305-567-0 560. Zach, what do you have? Give me some of your best stuff from the morning.
All right, more on the Burrow-Herbert-Tua conversation from earlier. It says Burrow and Herbert together have one more win than Tua has. Everybody calm down. Another one says Dolphins were convinced Tua was over his major hip surgery and two ankle surgeries instead of a healthy Herbert. Wondering if that's going to come back to bite or not. Well, I guess we'll see.
Well, only time will tell on that part. Right. The future, I mean, we can only live with what we have right now. And what we have right now is Tua's not starting this week against the Jets. Unless Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt, he's probably not going to play. And Herbert's getting ready to start his fifth game.
Right. All right. That's it. Another text said, why can't it be that both quarterbacks are going to be good and we just have to wait and see Tua play instead of just being thrown out there?
Hey, man, that could happen.
Of course it could.
That
right.
could very easily happen. If all these people that know a lot more about the quarterback position, a majority of these guys, if you trust what they say with his accuracy, his anticipation, if that stuff's true, then we're going to be okay. Now, he's not going to take off and run. And if he does, he better friggin' learn how to slide.
Right, right.
But outside of that, those other two things are the most important things. And by the time he plays, listen, the greatest news that came out that we haven't talked about because it's not sexy. Robert Hunt took a guy that was a double-digit sack and killed him to the point like he grayed out better than anybody. And I'm like, that's a great story. Like, we're going to use for the broadcast on Sunday, but Robert Hunt gets his first start and kicks ass. Like, I don't know what they do. They got a great problem now once everybody's healthy. But he goes against Armstead and just blocks the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the comments from NFL Network talking about, hey, this guy, Robert Hunt, a right tackle, he's a friggin' monster. Never played. He got out there and just stoned him. And I went, wow. You don't see all that stuff on TV. Unless you watch ISOs or get ISOs, but that's impressive. That's good.
All right. How about this one, Joe? Herbert wouldn't be playing if the Dolphins drafted him anyway. The only thing we all know is that Carol Baskins is guilty and can't dance.
Oh, boy. I tell you what. You're right about those two. Did she go home after she got kicked out of that show and look at her this husband and say,
better not say anything, buddy.
That was a dumbass thing I did going out there. They're running commercials with her family and stuff, saying, Carol, if you killed him, just let us know. How embarrassing. By the way, how tough is this woman to know she's going on that show? And the only reason she got on that show is part of the theme of the whole documentary is people think she killed her husband. They can't find him.
Right.
And whatever he's worth. What was he worth? Did they say like $8 or $9 million? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't watch that show, but isn't that like supposed to be a family show? Dancing with the Stars? Like, isn't that for like everyone? Are you going to put a person on there who you think killed someone?
I thought that was a weird, like when they decide, those producers decide who they're going to put on those shows. I thought that was a weird one. I'm not going to lie to you of like everybody, from the, Jerry Rice's to the Jason Taylors to athletes. And then out of nowhere, you put Carol Baskin in all those Tiger outfits?
Would that be the equivalent to throwing OJ on there or no?
No. Not quite.
Little different. Just saying.
OJ thinks she's... Hey, when OJ thinks she's guilty, Carol Baskin, then you got a problem.
I forgot all about that already. Right. Here's a good one, Joe. Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees all held the clipboard in their first year. Stop looking at Herbert and Burrow. They're getting beat up on bad teams. Really wouldn't mind if Tua sat all year. Let the rookies in the O-line develop some chemistry. That's from New Jersey, Pat.
Not bad, New Jersey, Pat. Not bad. And the truth be known, you might be on to the game plan that's been talked about and followed through from top to bottom over in Davie right now. You might be on to something.
Mm. I like the ones that say, way to go, Ryan Tannehill. Keep sticking it to all your doubters.
By the way, I want to say this about Ryan Tannehill. There's a couple things. Doesn't have a bad bone in his body. He really doesn't. He has never bad-mouthed this organization one time, never, with everything that happened. It would have been easy. He's taken class. I just can't. I can't root against him, man. I mean, I'm just.
Can we just backtrack about 3 hours and 10 minutes or so when you said we played that soundbite to start the show and you said, Ryan Tannehill's finally grown a pair.
Yeah, he's a leader. But that
okay, but that's
a,
that's an absolute shot at the guy. Just so you know, so you're aware.
I just think he's
while you,
learned.
You're kissing his ass pretty good right now. Just so you know, you took a pretty good shot in about 3 hours
ago. Listen, it's a known fact. Like he's a bit of an introvert, was very comfortable finishing meetings, and he didn't show up to any of our charity stuff, and it pissed me off to be really, like, we do this thing for the DCC for all these years and generates millions and millions of dollars for cancer. I've never said this before. And he's always busy and out of town. And I'm like, the one big event that our players should be at.
Well, you're quarterback too.
The one big event that you need to show up at every year while you're the quarterback. The face. If you're the starting quarterback, you're the face. You need to be at that. You can't be, well, for whatever reason, that thing needs to be circled. And I know a lot of guys go home in the offseason, but you're here for that one. By the way, you can get a little private plane and get in and out real quickly, amount of money. So that one kind of bothered me along with his. I mean, he came on one day and he goes, look, and honestly, I just don't really like doing this media stuff. Like, okay, I get a lot of guys probably don't like it, but you're the quarterback of the team.
Right.
You're the face, man.
Sometimes you got to deal with it.
That's all. Yeah. But outside of that, he's not a bad guy. I mean, he's never been a bad guy. He's never. He's always been class, man. He has. I just, that one thing.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Two things. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
I like how a texter earlier said that Adam Gase has pretty much run out an entire Pro Bowl team if you go by to all the players he's cut.
Well, Cutter, he's just not cut, but just.
Cutter gotten rid of.
Look, I told you who the most motivated guy in the football field is going to be this week. His name's Devontae Parker.
Yep. It's true. What about Gesicki? He'll be there, too.
Number two.
Right. There's two on your list, right?
Yep. He gave up on one guy, and the other guy never coached. Just left him out there.
Interesting. Always. Jets weeks are always interesting, but a lot more interesting with Adam Gase on the other side.
Well, first of all, Dolphins and Jets, nobody's ever flat for this one, no matter who's good and who's bad. And I've seen the bad team beat the good team. And I told you my rookie year, we are 8-8, and the Jets beat us twice, and they ended up 4-12. They beat us twice. We would have been in the playoffs if we beat them twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what one of those games was? Do you remember this? I happened to remember the game didn't have any sound. Just watched it naturally. I'm going back. I don't know if anybody remembers.
I don't remember. When was
the last game of the year when Shula was calling out people for having the car already packed. That game had no sound. There were no announcers.
Wow. Here's a good one, Joe.
You guys aren't sure what to say on that one.
No, I don't. I'm not sure.
What the hell are you talking about?
No announcers. I think Hollywood would like that. He doesn't have to deal with any broadcasters. Joe, if we make it to 500 this week, the AFC East still up for grabs, plus three wild card spots. Keep Fitz in there.
Thank you, Coach Flores, because that's what he's thinking.
I think that was from Coach Flores.
He's trying to win every frigging game. By the way, it's so funny. We're getting mad. He's got, I'm playing to win every game, Joe. And I tell people, they're going, oh, what's he doing? Like, he's trying to win games. That's what coaches are supposed to do, win frigging games. Like Coach Flores got to come out to the writers and go, hey, I want to apologize. I'm playing the best guys because
trying to win.
Yeah. Trying to win. People, no, but well, we'd rather lose and get the guy. I mean, no.
Right.
Ain't listening to you guys.
Right.
Can't do it. Won't be it.
Can't win with him.
Can't win without him. We can win with David Hale, ACC ESPN, going to join us coming up. He was at the Clemson-Miami game. We're going to talk some ACC football, including – how will the Canes bounce back against a very good Pitt team this Saturday at noon? At noon, it's going to be hot. Bring one of those like really heavy humidity days, man. Real humid days. We need one of those. All right. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, I'll tell you what. I could talk about South Florida Chevy dealers all the time because when I see everything that they have in their lots right now and I go, wow, this is it. When a general manager says, this is the best overall products by far, Joe, we've ever had with these great deals with the Chevy Open Road Sale event that continues to go on so you can get a great deal. Come down and take some test drives, man. If you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV from top to bottom, you know, it used to be maybe we talked a lot about our Tahoes because we do love our big, beautiful, comfortable Tahoes. They are fun to drive. What a great SUV. But the Silverado trucks, you know about them. There are a lot of Silverado trucks on the road for a reason. We got the perfect truck that you need for your lifestyle. Working, the family trucks, combo trucks, we got them for you, man. But it's so much more now. You know what? Our midsize SUVs have never been better. That Traverse, man, makes every drive so much fun. This midsize SUV, it's spacious enough to accommodate the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. But it got a great look. And, of course, our smaller SUV that has got everybody talking right now is that Equinox. Boy, I'll tell you what, active safety features, just really fun with the technology. I think you're really going to enjoy taking that for a test drive. And finally, my favorite, because I just think it looks so good, is the new Chevy Blazers. Wow. They got to figure it out on this Chevy Blazers. I've seen all the different Blazers through the years. This one wins by a landslide. Take it for a test drive. Find out for yourself. Hey, I got no excuses, man. We got dealerships throughout South Florida, Broward, Dade, even Monroe County, waiting for you to get a great deal. Take a test drive and fall in love today with the best deal you could get at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
Remember, the Miami Hurricanes Football on the Joe is sponsored by Milam's Market, your football tailgating headquarters at the stadium. And for your home parties, Milam's Market. Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now and speak to David Hale, who covers college football ACC stuff for ESPN. David, thank you for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
David, now after what we saw Clemson in Miami, I know you were at the game. Now it's find out if this Canes team is different as far as character and doesn't go with the big hangover for 3 or 4 weeks with Pitt coming to town. But your thoughts overall on what you saw in that game?
I think if you're a Miami fan, there's probably some frustration there because it was not a particularly close contest, I guess. I mean, I think you'd probably have to be a real optimist to have thought Miami was going to go in there and win outright. But I think what people more than anything wanted to see was that Miami was at least approaching the level that Clemson has been playing at for a long time, and they didn't get that. But I think, you know, there's a lot of ways of viewing it, and I think what it did is it sort of underscored some of the clear areas of weakness that Miami's roster has at this point, particularly, you know, the outside receiver positions where they just could not stretch the field. They could not, get open consistently. Those are big concerns, I think, and will be going forward. But I also think, you know, Miami, I thought, clearly was a more talented team than we have seen the last few years. Clemson outclasses everybody in the ACC. That's not new. So I think to your point, the question is Miami going to let that game define them, or are they going to be able to move forward and try and stake claim to being the second best team in the ACC? Because I don't think there's any shame in that, and you can still be a pretty darn good team and just not match up super well with Clemson.
We want to let you know we've been hitting that wide receiver thing. Those guys just aren't playing at a high enough level. One-on-one, just this has been going on and just got exposed. But I do want to ask you this. Is Clemson, I mean, look at it. It's full of 4- and 5-star guys. Overall, even if they're young guys, we don't know a lot about them. Is it just still – are they still talent-wise clearly better than everybody else, or is it more coaching, or is it a combination for you?
I mean, there's certainly a little bit of a combination there. I don't think, you know, you don't just roll in 5-star guys and have them show up on the field and be great. I think one of the things that Clemson's really good at is maximizing talent. And there's a number of guys that were out on the field there You know, Nolan Turner, their safety, you know, a handful of other guys that were not five-star guys, they were three-star guys. A couple of their offensive linemen, you know, that kind of stuff. So, look, it's easy to sort of look at the roster and say Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and, you know, what are you going to do? And there's definitely something to that. Those guys, as we saw Saturday, are really, really good. But there's also a pretty good depth of talent, even though a lot of new faces. You know, Andrew Booth, their cornerback, who made a just spectacularly athletic play in defending one of those deep balls. You know, you can blame the Miami wide receivers, and I don't think they look very good at all. But there was also a handful of really athletic plays by the Clemson DBs too, and that's not a coincidence. Those guys are really talented. I think. You know, you have probably, aside from at the quarterback and running back spot, fewer of the brand name superstars on this Clemson team than you've had in the last few years, where you might have had Isaiah Simmons or Christian Wilkins or Justin Ross and T. Higgins and those guys that everybody knew. I don't know that you've got as many of those guys this year, but I think maybe they might be deeper overall in terms of talent and experience. There's just a ton of guys that they can rotate through there. And you know, the crazy thing is you look at it and they're playing without Justin Ross, who's out for the season. Two of their starting defensive linemen, Justin Foster and Xavier Thomas, were neither on the field because they're both rehabbing injuries. I mean, Clemson's doing this without guys that they were planning on having that are five-star guys, and they're still managing to look better than everybody else.
David, when you're talking about before, go back to your comment before about did Miami look better than they have looked probably in the past. How much does that have to do with the quarterback? Because in the last couple of years, they've been trying to find that guy, and they have a new system in here, and it looks like a quarterback that fits that system perfectly.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And look, I think it'd be one thing to have a little bit better weapons for Derek King. I mean, you can only do what you can do, and I think his bread and butter is that he can move, and that's great, and he's got a world-class tight end in Brevin Jordan, and that's great. But what Brent Venables likes to do as a defensive coordinator and what he's so good at is taking away the things that you feel best about and forcing you to win in ways that you're not particularly comfortable doing. And Miami wasn't able to do that. But there's not going to be a lot of teams that Miami plays this year that are going to be able to take that approach as effectively as Clemson did. And the fact of the matter is Derek King is a matchup nightmare for most defenses that they're going to face. Brevin Jordan is a matchup nightmare for most defenses that they're going to face. It'll be very interesting this week because I think defensively, Pittsburgh is probably the next best defense that they're going to see this year. So I don't know that it goes from like super challenging game against Clemson to pushover against Pitt. Pitt has had its struggles the last couple of weeks with a couple of 1-point losses, but that's still a really good team. They can get after it up front. They don't need to blitz a ton. Their front four can really get after it. They're good on the back end. Their linebackers can play sideline to sideline, are very athletic. You know, all of that, I think, is going to challenge Miami as well. But again, those are probably the two toughest matchups defensively that Miami's going to face this year.
Is it in your mind right now, just watching all the ACC games, is North Carolina the second best team right now in the ACC?
You know, I've had a few conversations about this with folks about, you know, Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame. How does that all fit together? The thing that I will say about North Carolina is I think if they don't play well, they can get exposed pretty easily. But I think if they're clicking on all cylinders, I think they might have the highest ceiling. So you look at a team like Notre Dame, and I think we know who they are. You know, the window of what Notre Dame is going to be from week to week is probably not that wide. I think it's a lot wider for Carolina, which means, you know, you might get them and they, you know, totally stink for a week. But I also think that the high end for Carolina, they've got three receivers that are just game breaker receivers. They've got two running backs that are tremendous. They've got, I think, probably the second best quarterback in the league in Sam Howell, who can really stretch the field. They've got a pretty darn good offensive line. They're kind of coming around on their pass rush on defense. They're good in the back end when they're healthy. They're obviously a very well-coached team. I think schematically what Phil Longo and their offense has done is unique and really hard to defend. All of that adds up to, I think, if somebody is going to really challenge Clemson, I certainly, you know, if they were playing tomorrow, I wouldn't be picking Carolina. But if you said somebody's going to beat Clemson this year, that I think would probably be my most likely guess.
Well, it's been a hell of a run, man, for sure. David, thank you, buddy, for being with us this morning. Talk a little bit about the ACC, man. We need a big old bounce back to get rid of that hangover. Nobody likes a long hangover, David. You know that.
Hey, that's like 6 days a week for me, so I'm just moving ahead.
All right. Thank you,
well
buddy.
Well done, David. David Hale joining us from ESPN, who covers the ACC college football. Good stuff from him right there.
All right. Hey, Zach, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back.
Oh,
I see my phone's ringing.
Right.
Somebody wants to know who I'm voting for. I can see it right now, so we'll check on that. We'll be back in just a moment.
560 The Joe, WQAM, urges you to make your voice heard. Remember, all registered Florida voters can vote absentee in the upcoming election. The deadline to request your ballot is coming up soon. Don't wait. Visit vote411.org to learn more and request your ballot today. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
Well, all this talking about voting and people pissed off one side or the other, be a good year to vote, right? Hopefully everybody gets a chance to, haven't voted yet, we'll get a chance and show up on game day if necessary. All right, let's check in on the machine, 305-567-0560. Before we turn it over to Levy and Stugatz, what do you have this morning?
Ryan Tannehill is a top five or six quarterback right now in the NFL. Everyone let that sink in.
That's an interesting
one. Is that
one.
Pushing it a little bit?
Yeah, I can think of five guys right off the top.
It's not even close.
Mahomes, Lamar, Russell Wilson.
Rodgers, Brady.
Rodgers, Breeze.
Better than Ryan Tannehill.
I got to tell you something. Cool off on Brady a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe even Breeze off a little bit too.
Wait, you're saying Ryan Tannehill's better than Tom Brady right now?
I'd say yes.
You I don't even know me. What to say. It's just such an insane thing to say.
Okay.
What about Big Ben right now?
Also better than Ryan Tannehill.
Big Ben's been pretty good, man.
Yeah,
Big Ben. Big Ben's got a nice little comeback.
Right.
For all that Alex Smith stuff about getting back in the game, old Big Ben.
He's always been good, though. He just flies under the radar.
Big Ben didn't play last year. We didn't
know. No, I know.
Come
I know.
Back from his
but
arm.
He's never in that conversation with the top guys in the league. He's always on the outside of that conversation.
Got a couple Super Bowls, too, right?
Got two.
Right. Got a couple.
Got two rings, and he
right.
and Terry Bradshaw have made up, so that's good. We're getting
oh,
the Steeler
good,
family
good.
Back
Woo,
together.
Thank God. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Been waiting for someone to tell me that. One man's trash is another man's Tannehill. Somebody text him.
That's pretty good. That's pretty. Right. I got to give you credit.
That's good. Right.
I don't know. Where do you put Tanny Man? Do you put Tanny Man in the top 10?
I think he's in the top 10 right now.
Putting up good numbers. His friggin' team's undefeated.
Right. You'd rather have Tannehill right now or Nick Foles?
Oh, not even close. Tannehill.
Okay.
Come on.
Just looking at the best teams in the Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
What about Derek Carr or Ryan Tannehill?
Carr's having a good year.
Yeah.
Remember that day I said I'd like to have Carr, and we got that text from Gase?
Right.
I still think of that.
Oh, my God, I forgot. Right.
I can't believe I just said that. I did not say that
on
the
air. Car
anyway,
guy.
I did not say not a car
guy.
Not a guy that likes the car.
What about Baker over Tannehill right now?
Not even close.
What about Josh Allen?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so he's 10. I would say he's in the top 10 or 12 at this point. Probably 10.
Still amazing, right?
Right. Yes,
whatever
it is.
You do,
it is.
I mean,
no matter what.
The guys.
Right. I like the person that texted us earlier. Can we please get that reporter on from New York that trashes the Jets? And Hollywood answered back quickly. Yep, he was already on with us 840. Manish Mehta. That's very funny.
If you just need to feel good about yourself and listen to somebody else's train wreck, we might have them on tomorrow morning again.
There will be a blog put up today on WQAM.com with the headline saying no fans deserve Adam Gase.
That's a great quote, right? You're waiting for that money quote.
Yes, you can check that out, WQAM.com, later today. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
I like to promote that. Is that okay with you, Joe?
Yeah, I promote the blog.
No, he's at a sarcastic, like, okay.
No.
Like, just because you don't know how to use a computer doesn't mean other people don't.
See, now you're ripping me. I haven't even said anything.
Right. I think Joe's been kind of.
You
gotta
rip me
every
day.
Right. Someone asked, what grade do we give Greer in the 2020 draft thus far? I mean, we have to give it an incomplete, right? Can you really grade it out?
He's got a lot of guys playing.
Although I want to give him an A because I know we're talking maybe too soon, but it looks like he's halfway to almost fix the offensive line a little bit, right?
I think the offensive line.
That's early, the best part
again,
of it.
Early on. You know, we haven't even gotten all the Kool-Aid, all the sugar in the Kool-Aid yet, but the O-line, look, we can break it down. Igbinoghene, no. He's played a lot, but we haven't seen it. Three offensive linemen, wow.
Right.
Looks really good that we got three starters. Raekwon on the defensive line, going to start playing a lot. Maybe, I mean, he's going to play a lot. He's going to be a 30-snap guy now. He's going to have to play a lot of football. And we need to see the guy that out of Alabama. And then Tua, you know, he hadn't played. So I'd say, yes. C plus, B minus?
Yep. That's what the guy gave him here, too, C plus, right?
Okay.
Yep. Without knowing about Tua. Let's see. There's got to be some more motivation for Tua now, hearing all this crap on ESPN and everything else. Yeah, if he's listening to it, sure.
Those guys here, Zach, no matter what they tell you,
right?
Every coach and every player, if they don't hear it directly, the worst part is they get it from somebody close to them, which is usually worse because we like – to exaggerate everything when we go to tell everybody and we try to tell them what we think we heard. That's what's broken up a lot of my relationships on this radio right there. Second. Somebody going, man, you're getting ripped. I go, right. Ripped. Ripped. I was talking about, I'd like to see all the best teams play each other in South Florida.
Yeah.
No rip. So who told you that? Because you didn't hear it.
Someone goes, oh, Tannehill grew a pair, huh? Maybe he's got balls now because he's not surrounded by a bunch of bleep holes.
True.
That's a good text.
Huh? Hey, whatever it is, and only Ryan will know, but it's been a hell of a comeback, man. It's been a hell of a comeback, and he waited to get into his 30s on a new team to do it.
Someone said Jim Plunkett turned his career around after failing in New England, San Francisco.
Yeah, but I don't know how many years. I'd have to look it up how many years he was with either New England or whether they were Boston back then. They might have been Boston or I don't know if they're the Boston Patriots or New England Patriots. But, yeah, Jim Plunkett stuffed that big face in that Raider helmet, man, and right. Won Super Bowls.
How big was that helmet, by the way, or that hat size?
I don't know, man, but every time he stuffed that face, I just see the cheeks coming out of the side of the mask. And I was like, damn, Jim, get a bigger damn helmet. Go back to Stanford. You're right down the street. They must have your old helmet.
Bell and AB, two head case dummies. Meanwhile, Steelers rolling on.
Hey, Steelers finding some new guys, man. Some great stories. They just do. That I tell you what, that's probably going to be the most fun to watch this year. And I didn't think it was going to be like this. Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. That's going to be fun to see.
Good division. It's a good division.
Oh,
right
my
now.
God.
Right. And only going to get better if Burrow gets better too, right, in Cincinnati?
I mean, that ain't going to happen yet.
Wow, did you see, by the way, on ESPN and all these analysts, the way that they're just dogging A.J. Green for not even like playing while he's out there in the field?
No hustle.
Holy moly, are they dogging that guy?
I think Joe Burrow saved him, and they were forced to bring him back. They didn't give him a new contract, though. I just think they just gave him the...
He's on the 1 year, what, the
listen,
franchise,
man,
right?
He, yeah. I thought he was done last year, and the fact that he didn't come back and play when they were really bad, and they brought him back for another year for a lot of money, is he's done. He's done, man. Stick a fork in him.
Yep. How about this one, Joe? If you want to be a success in the NFL, go play for the Dolphins for a couple of years, play poorly, go to a different team, become a star. Example, yeah. Ryan Tannehill. Many other players, too.
We have had Kenyon Drake. Let me see. You want to go through? Jordan Phillips is the one that really stings right. me. He's got
Which
a couple
of, those...
of sacks right now out in Arizona.
Which one of those three offensive linemen that Gase cut in the middle of the season? One of them, one or two of them are starters.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Like, I think the three guys we have are all better players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, this helps you know.
And by the way, you're expecting that from your two of your picks, but the fact that your fourth-round pick is playing right guard and people raving about national guys like he gets after those veterans, like he doesn't back down. They go to shove him a second time, they better be ready because he ain't moving. Mm.
Yep. Yeah, that's an interesting one right there. A lot of Tannehill stuff in the text machine this morning.
Hey, man, it's fine. He was our quarterback through his 20s. He was right here. He was a first-round pick. And just think about all the layers we've gone through. Oh, he's a receiver playing quarterback. What a terrible pick. What a terrible pick. And then all the things. And then, you know, the injury bug hit him after being really durable. And then Gase with Tanny didn't win enough, didn't get it done. Gase gone. Tannehill moves on. Team going in a different direction. And then this. It's a hell of a story. It just sucks that it's part of your – you're the original team. It sucks. It does suck.
Right.
It sucks. Like Tennessee going, thank you, Dolphins.
I think Ryan Tannehill texted in this morning also, Jones said, hey, Miko, this is Ryan. Up yours. My teammates love me.
Boy, you remember that? Oh, God. Hey, we are out of time when I hear that music. But, man, we got a big, big, big show. A lot more stuff to get to tomorrow morning. I can't even wait. I might just stay. I might not move. I might just eat and stay right here till we do it again tomorrow.
You're
going to
do that anyway. What's the difference?
Right.
Levy and Stu Gotts are coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.